Let's turn our Bibles open to Luke chapter 5. And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Can I have more high ends on this? Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Just a little bit more meat and a high. Thank you very much. All right. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for what you have began last night. And right now we ask for a fresh outpouring of your anointing and your unction in this place. Touch every man, touch every woman. Lord, we ask for a refreshing touch of the Holy Spirit right now. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that which you will accomplish for your namesake. And so, Lord, fulfill heaven's decree for this day, for this hour. And so I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night I began to talk about how very often you and I take actions without revelation. And like Simon Peter, they went and they were fishing all night without revelation. And as a result of action without revelation, it leads to fruitlessness. It's futility. And then we looked at how Jesus came into the boat. And then as he was ministering from off the boat, he asked Simon Peter to then go further and then launch into the deep and to let his nets down. And as a result of the revelation from Jesus, Simon Peter received the revelation, and therefore, as a result of that action that came through revelation, we see fruitfulness and fullness in life. Now, last night I didn't finish, so let me just finish the other 2 points, the 4 points last night. So, action without revelation leads to futility or fruitlessness. Actions with revelation is fullness or fruitfulness. But number three, we find in this episode that action with revelation is fame. F-A-M-E is fame. Because in this story here, we see as a result of Simon Peter having to call his partners, his boating partners, to come alongside, you know, they brought the nets up, and there were basically two boats full of fishes. And as a result of that, they were so impacted. The Bible tells us two reactions took place. Where Simon Peter was concerned, he turned around to the master and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And the Bible tells us, "Hear, O Israel," in the Old Testament, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." Lord. You know, the name of God is really Lord. L-O-R-D. Yeah. Because during the time in the Middle East, every country worshipped a particular God. But Israel was not to worship God like the rest of the other God, because for Israel, it was the Lord. And so if you want to study the Old Testament theology, God Himself is the Lord of the nation. Yeah. So the name of God is really the Lord. And in this episode, as a result of action with revelation, it brought about a testimony. A testimony of who God is. And therefore, Peter, out of his lips, began to proclaim that the master or the teacher is really the Lord himself. And I want you to understand here, as you step forth with revelation in your life, as you act according to revelation, you will bring forth the testimony of God into your life. Because you yourself will know who He is, because God will reveal Himself to you. But secondly, the other reaction here is that everybody else were astonished at the catch of the fish. And as a result, James and John, the son of Zebedee, began to follow the Lord because of the testimony of who God is. You know, the world that we live in today needs to know the testimony of who our God is, who our Lord is. Especially for us who have children, our kids in the days to come will need to know who God is, and it's going to happen through your action that will come through revelation. In the same way, your spiritual children that will come through your lives, which means people that will find salvation in you, they will find it because of the testimony of who God is in your life. And that testimony can only come when you and I walk in the revelation of God. And when you walk in the revelation of God, you will act according to that revelation. And when you do that, then there comes forth the testimony of who God is. That's why it is not coincidental when the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River. Joshua then ordered that there will be 12 stones to be collected. And at the edge of the river, they put up this monument to commemorate who God is and what God has done. And so action with revelation brings forth the testimony of who God is. We shout the fame of God through our lives. You know, someone once said that the people around us are not looking for failures. We're looking towards those that are successful, isn't it? We all pattern towards those that are successful. And when you experience success because of the fruitfulness in your life as a result of revelation of God, then what is going to happen is that we begin to have a platform to share who God is in our life. Someone came to me the other day, and he said, "Pastor Dom, can you tell us more about why Trinity is so successful?" And I turned to this person and I said, "You know, honestly, let me just say this to you." I told the person, "It's not because I'm intelligent. It's not because I'm smart, I'm clever. It's not because I came up with some strategic process that brought Trinity to where it was." I told them, "It's all about the revelation that God downloaded." And so I shared the story, and they were astounded. Because these people that came to Trinity, they came to learn about church growth. And a lot of people around the world will want to learn about how the church grows. And you and I can come up with all of our human gimmicks and all of our human methodology of how churches grow. But the reality is that because of the revelation, we simply followed the revelation through our actions. And because of the action that comes from revelation, God gets glory. The fame is God. And as I began to share that, those superintendents that were standing around me, the tears began to roll down their cheek. And then each and every one of them confessed that they've been traveling around the world, learning from growing churches, learning what we call human methodologies, missing out one very important thing, and that is God. Now, I look at that, and that principle is the same principle for us in our corporate world. If we want to find success in our life, if we are going to go wider in influence, then it is imperative today that you and I ensure that the actions of our life, the actions of our business, the action plan for our businesses, comes from a revelation. And when that happens, it gives you and I a solid platform to tell people it is God that has taught us how to be successful. Amen. You know, so many of us want to stand up and talk about how we, through our learned interaction and all of that, that we have gained fame. But really, when you and I can begin to act on God's revelation, then God gets the glory, but at the same time, we experience the success that God will bless us with. And then finally, from last point, before I launch out into the deep tonight, which is really what I want to share about, and that is action with revelation will bring about followership. We read here how Peter and John, the sons of Zebedee, forsook all and they followed Jesus. When you and I can act upon the revelation that God gives to us, not only will we be successful, not only will we begin to testify of who God is in our lives, but more than that, we will see people following Jesus. Amen. Because that's the greatest joy. So tonight, I want to move on from there and talk about launching into the deep. Jesus said to Simon Peter, verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I believe this is a prophetic message for Solomon's Porch tonight. Not only for Pastor Sam, but for every one of you. To launch out into the deep. God is going to challenge you tonight to launch out into the deep. It is almost like a crossover. God is wanting to shake you guys and ask you to go deeper than ever before. What does go deeper mean? What does it mean to launch out into the deep? I want to submit to you tonight as I wait upon the Lord. There are four things about launching into the deep. God is challenging you to launch out, and that is number one, to enter into the place of great faith or taking a greater risk in Him. God is wanting you to go out on a limb for Him, which means for some of you, it could be going out to someone and says, can I pray for you? And as you do so, a miracle is about to happen. Maybe you have often heard from preachers how they go pray for someone and a miracle of God comes upon those lives. And you've been hearing a lot about it and you've been challenged, but you never launch out into the deep. You hear so much about it, but you've never done it. Or you hear about testimonies of how people gave to the Lord and a blessing came. And you know, every time you hear about it, it challenges you, you are inspired, but when the offering back comes, you'll never do it. Well, I want you to know this year, before the end of this year, God's going to challenge you to launch out into the deep. God is asking you to go out on a limb for Him. Take a greater risk for Him. Do something that you have never done before. Because you are about to see something happen in your life. Can you imagine with me if Simon Peter had not launched out into the deep? Just think with me. If Simon did not launch out into the deep, would he have experienced the miraculous catch? I don't think so. I think the conclusion of the Bible story would be very different. But because he launched out into the deep, and so number one, I believe God is challenging you, every one of you, to do something that you have never done before. Something that will blow your mind. To enter into a place of great faith. What is it tonight? God's calling you to enter into a place of great faith. What is it that God is calling you tonight to place great faith in? For some of you, you've been praying for miracles. Maybe for some of you, people have come and prophesy over you and it says, you know, through your hands, great miracles are going to happen. And you receive that prophecy, you receive that prophetic word, and then you pray for someone and they die immediately. And you say, never again. I remember when I was in Bible school. Yeah, I remember when I was in Bible school, I was the head of the student body. I was the president of the student body. And during chapel service one day, the president of the Bible college came and said, we're going to pray for this missionary in the U.S. right now. He's in critical condition and he could go any moment. We want to invite Dominic to pray. And they all know in Bible school, they all know I'm a man of faith. Because when I went to the Bible school, I went in without money. You know, I had no money for the tuition. I had no money for my daily means. And at that time, I was dating Janine. You know. And I had to borrow money from her on Sunday night so that on Monday morning, I can go back to Bible school. That's what it was. But the whole entire student body knew how poor I was because I left Trinity to pioneer a church. And you know, when you're pioneering a church, you got no money. And so when I was in Bible school, I was fasting every meal. This is the abuse of fasting.
No.
And so during lunchtime, while everybody was eating, I will be in a prayer room, praying and fasting. Come dinner, I will drink enough water and then go into the prayer room and I'll be fasting and praying. Because I had no financial means. And then the student body came together and as a result of that, they tithed their lunches and their dinners to me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if there were 60 of them and they tithed 10% of their noodles? You know how much noodles you have? It lasts you for months. So I went through Bible school that way. And everybody knew I was a man of faith. And, you know, man of faith. And this is Miss Practicality. You know, my Chinin, when I was dating her, I mean, she knows what is everything down. You know, for her, faith has a certain premise on practicality. Well, for me, I walk on water, you know, anytime. And so they invited me, a man of faith, to pray for the missionary who is now in the U.S., in critical condition. I prayed a great prayer. I want you to know, it was so eloquent, so powerful, that at the end of the prayer, the whole entire student body stood up and they clapped. It was so good. And then the chapel service started. The preacher finished preaching. The altar call was given. And then the president walked in, took over the mic after the end of the service. It says, you know, we the community of faith, I'd like us all to stand and let's pray for the family, you know, so and so, because a missionary has now gone home to be with the Lord. The man of faith prayed and somebody died. I want you to know it impacted me greatly. It impacted me to a place where I couldn't pray for any more healing. I was afraid the next person I prayed will also be sent to heaven. That's how impacting it was. And then the Lord challenged me. I went to India. Where is she? Yeah. I went to Pune. I went to Pune where your parents were. Where your parents are? I'm sorry. No, where your parents are. Better get that right, boy. And when I was in Pune, preaching on a weekend, it was Miracle Sunday. Terrified me, Miracle Sunday. Oh, man, Jesus, what are you trying to do to me? And then I was challenged. I was so challenged to launch out into the deep. And God says, take a limb. Go out on a limb for me. It's time to place greater faith. I remember that weekend in Pune, in the Assemblies of God Church. The church hall was probably from that wall to this whiteboard. half this ballroom. That's how small the building was. And but the crowd was so big that day that people were sitting out there. So when I gave the altar call, they came forward. And let me tell you, I was afraid to pray because there were people that came on wheelchair, there were people that were brought in on stretchers, others were standing. I was so afraid to pray. And then God says, Dom, go out on a limb. I prayed for the person in a stretcher and they got up. I prayed for this person on a wheelchair and they got up walking. And things began to happen. I mean, it was as a pandemonium broke out. And then the next thing that shocked me was I walked up to this man. He was extremely frail, standing there saying, you know, he wanted to receive prayer. I was less than 3 feet from him. And he flew out from, I mean, literally, he took off, poof, out of the church into where everybody else was sitting. I didn't have to throw my jacket for them to fall. He just flew as I walked towards him. As I walked, came to about a meter to him, he flew. And then everybody ran back to their seats. Then the voice of God came into my spirit and said, God says, this is the start of a great miracle because you walk in great faith. That day in Pune, a lot of miracles took place. It is so incredible because that night when I did the crusade meeting, the rain came down. From the microphone, I declared, the rain will stop in 2 minutes. With great faith, took a limb for Jesus. And the rain stopped. I mean, it came down torrential, just like it was in Hong Kong when we first came. And in 2 minutes, it stopped. Many gave their life to Jesus that night. And I feel that SP is about to... It's at that place. I sense SP, you know, Solomon's Porch, every one of you that is a part of this church, because your individual life has been woven into this larger tapestry of the church, her destiny and her calling. And something's about to happen, but it can only happen if you learn to launch out into the deep. But as long as you stay back where you are, in comfort zone, behind comfort line, nothing's going to happen. And the voice of God to SP tonight is to launch out into the deep. It is about taking a risk in Him. You know, faith is spelled as R-I-S-K. That's how it's spelled. And if you learn to take a risk in Him, you are demonstrating and you are manifesting faith in Him. And God will honor the faith of every man and every woman. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But everyone who comes to Him must first believe He exists. And you, by putting your, and I use the word reckless, faith in Him, you are declaring that He exists. And when you declare He exists, God will not return His word unto Him void. But God will move in accordance to the faith that is demonstrated. And so God says to you tonight to launch out into the deep. Because as you do that, something is about to happen. And I sense you are at the threshold. The destiny of SP is hung in a balance of a scale in heaven. There is a divine scale. How you tip it tonight will bring forth the manifestation of a great miracle. So big that it will require 2 boats to handle it. And even with the 2 boats, the load on the boat was so great that both boats began to sink. Isn't that what the Bible says? In the same prophetic sense, I believe that's about to happen. That's why I believe with Pastor Sam that in 3 years you will come to a place where you have got no choice but to move. Number two. Man, it's 9:10. What time do I quit? That's just my first point, man. All right, to launch out into the deep. To launch out into the deep also means doing something again that was once fruitless. Doing something again that was once fruitless. Remember Simon Peter? They were out in the boat. They were fishing all night with all of their partners. And it was an exercise in futility. But now with the revelation of God to launch out into the deep, they were doing something again that was fruitless in the past. But now it's going to bring forth a manifestation. And I believe God's calling you to do something again. Maybe you have given up on a dream. You started on the track towards the dream, and as you were coming to it, it didn't happen the way you conceive in your mind. And what you have was disappointment. But God tonight is saying, do it again. Do it again. Because when you do it again, this time there comes the unction. Because this time it comes with revelation. And with revelation, it comes an ordination of life. That's why without a vision, the people perish. But when there is a prophetic revelation, that's what the word vision means. When there is a prophetic revelation, the people experience life. And so God tonight is asking you to track back. Track back to that which you have began. But you gave up because you were disappointed or because you did not see the result. But this time, do it in the strength of God. Do it with the revelation of God. Do it again because you're about to enter into the place of fruitfulness and fullness in the Lord. That's what launching out into the deep is all about. You know, the manifestation of breakthrough, miracles, and success is about taking one more step. Yeah. You may have failed in the past, but do you know there's the thing called timing? There's a revelation and there's a thing called timing as well. Because in the past, we did it with our own time. Simon Peter did it at their time. But God has a time. God has a kairos moment. Not a chronos moment, but a kairos moment. A chronos moment is that which is done through regular sequence of time. That's where we have the word chronology. But kairos describes a moment in time and God opportune moment when heaven opens and that's right. And then it happens. Let's pray for that kairos moment tonight. When we do it again. Because this time when we do it again, we're going to do it in the timing and the revelation of God. And things begins to happen. That's how it's going to happen. About 5 years ago, now Karen's been to Trinity, to the new ground. We have three campuses. Trinity owns three plots of land in Singapore. for one local church, we seem to be pretty asset rich in that sense. Adam Road is found in almost the gated community in Singapore. And so it's on very prestigious ground. It is basically 1 acre of property. We bought our second property, which is just off the business district, and it is a conservation project. Today, we rent out the building to churches that needs facilities. Our third property is a 3.5 acre of property that was that used to be the recreational facilities of Shell Petroleum. So it was a Shell Recreation Club. The whole land area was about 8 acres, of which Trinity has 3.5 acres. The rest was bought by a private developer. And so right beside us is an apartment, a condominium, a private apartment block. So we bought this 3.5 acres of property for $20 million. And for $20 million, the church paid off in 5 years. And then we started redeveloping on a property about 5 years ago. And about 5 years ago, as we started the whole redevelopment process, I stood up at our leadership meeting. You know, once every 2 months, I convene a leadership meeting of about 1,200 leaders in attendance. I remember making a statement in that meeting. I said, folks, it took us 5 years to pay off $20 million. For the redevelopment project, don't worry about the cost. Nobody knows how much it's going to cost us. You know. And I told the folks, we're going to pay off in 5 years. You know, we ground zero. I mean, that whole recreation facility that we had on our side, that was an Olympic-sized swimming pool that Singapore national swimmers actually use for training. We had 2 badminton courts. We had a tennis court, 2 squash court, and half a soccer field on our land. And then we had a huge restaurant that was, we basically ground zero the whole entire place. Went down 2 basement, you know, and in Singapore, every basement is about $4 million. When you go 1 basement, it's $4 million. So 2 basement is $8 million. So there it goes. And I remember saying to the folks, we're going to just do it again in 5 years. As soon as I made that declaration, you know, opposition came. The first opposition came from my board members. My treasurer. The one who holds the purse string of the church. He said to me, Pastor Dom, we paid off $20 million in 5 years. And among the board member and myself, and it's going to be no secret in the days to come, so I'm going to share with you here, is the whole development is $80 million. So including land costs, it's $100 million. So $20 million within 5 years, $80 million, I said 5 years as well. So my treasurer came up to me and says, Pastor Dom, it's not going to happen. We've got to go for a 15-year mortgage plan with a bank. So I said to Raymond, I said, you do what you deem fit, but we're going to do it again. Because I'm going to believe God. We're going to step out in faith. You know, at this present moment, we have enough in our kitty to finish off paying the entire project. Right now. Because I just had my board meeting last Saturday. Asked the treasurer, how much do we have? And he told me, oh, Pastor Dom, we have this $40 over million. I said, how much do we owe? $2.5 million. I said, okay, let's just I share that with you because I want to encourage you. Because to launch out into the deep means you do it again. You do it again. But of course, in this case of the disciples, the first time they did, it was an exercise in futility. But this time, God begins to open a greater door. Because of the sense of timing and revelation. And when I stood up that day to address the leadership in the church, I had a revelation of God that if I were to say we are going to do it again in 5 years, God will honor, because of the revelation that God puts in my heart that it's going to happen. And if everyone in that room agrees with me and step out with same faith to do it again, God will come and surprise us. And so within this next 1 or 2 months, we're going to discharge $2 million. And then I'm just going to keep that $500K and slowly just bring it down. And then in September, take the mortgage and burn it in church. Because I'm now going to redevelop Adam Road. Yeah, I want to go down 4 floors down. You know, Adam has got 1 basement. The church is too small. We're just going to go 4 basement down. And I'm meeting with... So pray along with me. I'm meeting up with the Minister of National Development, the Chief Planner in the city. And I'm asking for a meeting with the Prime Minister as well. Because I need to help them understand that church is a little bit different. So give me the ability to build much higher. So I'm praying for... I'm believing God for a big facility for Adam Road as well. Though it's sitting on 1 acre. So it's going to cost us a lot of money. But you know, right now I said to my treasurer the other day, maybe we should go into Adam Road without taking a bank loan, and then just completely by faith finance the whole thing. They're all about to die in their chair. I said to them, that's no revelation, just speaking of the flesh, but you know, let me pray about it. Yeah. But the key here tonight is this. I sense the same voice that God has spoken to me with regards to Trinity. I sense the same voice for you guys to launch out into the deep. And that is to do it again. So I don't know you personally. Maybe you have embarked on your dreams. You have embarked on something with the Lord, an adventure with God, but only to end up with minimum success or a sense of disappointment, or it became an exercise in futility for you. But tonight, listen very carefully. Jesus said to Simon Peter, I know you've been toiling all night. I know. But launch out into the deep. And that's why Simon Peter says, nevertheless, at your word. He did it again. And so tonight, SP, God's calling you to launch out. Amen. A miracle is about to happen. Number 3. To launch out into the deep. Means that there's something that you have been doing, but you got to do more of it. Something that you've been doing right, but you got to do more of it. I like to use this illustration. It's like giving. You've been giving, but God's going to say, now give more. You've been giving financially. And maybe you say, oh, Pastor Dom, let's not talk about finance anymore. I'm sick about this thing about giving financially to the church. You know, I've emptied up my piggy bank. But there is an illustration of the truth here that I want to just cement in your heart. Launching out into the deep means doing something that you have done before with a certain amount of success, but God is also wanting you to do more of it. I had this young man come one time. He's been giving faithfully to church. He has been faithfully giving to the building program of Trinity. But I remember one particular Christmas, I said to the congregation, we're going to give a cash offering. I told the congregation, you have made your faith promise, and many of you have been giving, and you've been giving all these years. And many of them has been giving since Pastor Dowdy days. Because Pastor Dowdy started this whole faith promise. And I told the congregation, as long as I'm your senior pastor, we will continue having building programs. Yeah. Because that's what's going to happen. And so I call for a cash offering on Christmas Day. This young man came. And I remember it vividly. So, I mean, you know, I remember details. I remember preaching from Genesis chapter 32 about Abraham and Isaac. And then after I finished preaching, there was this cash offering. Another pastor took over and they called them to come forth with the cash offering. I remember this young man. He walked down the aisles carrying a piggy bank. I mean, a huge piggy. He's like my son. Every now and then, he will empty out a piggy bank and he will count his coins and his notes. He was saving for his marriage. At that time, he was in a university in Singapore. He just graduated from the university, going out into the workforce, and this money, he was saving for his marriage. He walked down the aisle with that big piggy, tears rolling down his cheek. I remember when he placed that piggy at the altars. He stood there for a while, reluctant to leave piggy at the altar. I could see he was muttering a prayer to Jesus, saying, God, this is it. As he walked back, and I have a habit of kicking guys in the butt, you know. So as he walked, I remember kicking him in the butt. He turned around. And I said to him, I said, yes, what's the big issue? You're only giving to Jesus. And I remember he hugged me. I kind of hugged him. And I said, you know, I'm glad you're doing this. Now, he's always been giving. But it's about time for him to launch into the deep like never before. The miracle of this story that I'm sharing with you is that as soon as he turned back to his seat, he received a short text message on his handphone. His eldest brother, for whatever reason, texted him and said to him, I'm writing a check for you and the amount. Guess what? That amount was exactly everything that he gave in his piggy. He was ecstatic when he received that. But I want you to know that's not all. Because remember, there's a doubling effect here. In the scripture, when the disciples launched out into the deep and let their nets down, there was a doubling effect. There was a multiplier effect. Because that day after he received a short message text, as he was going home to receive a check from his brother, he received another text message of another check that was about to come to him. And before the end of the day, ES has received two times that which he gave to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that that's a formula. What I'm trying to address here is a spiritual principle here. That if God is calling SP to launch into the deep, and you are a part of SP to launch into the deep, then something is about to happen in your life. And that which you have been doing, God is going to ask you to do more of it. Because that which you have been praying, God is saying, pray more, because something's about to happen. Because you are sowing more hours to the Lord in prayer. Because you are sowing more finances into the Lord through the church. Something's about to happen. It's called a multiplier. There's a multiplier that's going to be happening in your life and in the church. To that which you have been doing successfully, do more. That's what launching out into the deep is all about. Doing more of it. Serving more, praying more, giving more. Those are going to result with a greater ROI than what the financial market can do for you. Trust me, been there. I can tell you stories of our own life. My wife and I, when I see her write out a faith promise for the building, I always say to myself, God, this is good enough. My wife and I will share our faith promise. Yeah. And then the Lord will challenge me and say, son, you need to take that walk of faith too. Whenever I do that with her, we see the hand of God blessing us in incredulous ways. God will tell me about the financial stock market about to crash. And just right, we will make a major killing financially. Where we are today. You know, we could tell you the stories after stories. Because we've been giving. But God says more. And when we step up to the plate and do more, something happens in a greater way. So SP, launch out into the deep. Amen. You see, folks, I want to say this. The end of a man is the beginning of God. Write that down somewhere. When man comes to an end in himself, that is when God begins. When Simon Peter and the folks came to the place where it was the end of themselves, God comes and said, launch out into the deep. That's the beginning of the greater miracle. So I think here tonight we want to crucify ourselves, so to speak. Crucify the flesh that tends to lead us instead of God leading us. Because in order to launch out into the deep, we've got to bring a closure to the human elements in our lives that is a major obstacle to great miracles, great faith. Let me make three more points and then I'll close, alright? That was just my intro of what launching out into the deep means. That's why I got a little bit worried with time. I know it's 9:30. Just bear with me. Is it okay, Pastor Sam? I'm very conscious of time. Okay. Huh? Okay, all right. Then I'm okay. When we talk about launching into the deep, three things actually happens. When you are challenged by God to launch out, as you enter into a place of great faith, when you do something against that was fruitless in the first place, and then when you do something that you have been doing, but do more of it. Oh yeah, number four, do something that you have never done before, all right? Number four, do something you have never done before. When you launch out into the deep, your launch into the deep, number one, transforms you. Your launch into the deep transforms you. A lot of us pray for transformation. We ask God to bring transformation in our life. Friends, that's not going to happen. Transformation begins when you launch out into the deep. It transforms your understanding. You see, when Jesus told Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and put your nets down, that launch brought a transformation in the whole understanding. Because you no longer depend on your strength nor your ability, but now you begin to depend on God. It transformed your understanding. Your understanding of reliance. Your understanding of strength. It transforms us. It also transforms us in the transformation of revelation. That's where Simon Peter, instead of calling him Master when he started off, at the end of it, he calls him Lord. Remember, he says, Master, We've been toiling all night. Or teacher, we've been toiling all night. But nevertheless, at your word, we'll do. But then the scripture tells us, Simon Peter, after the catch, says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Your launch into the deep will transform you in your understanding of strength. It will transform your understanding of revelation. Because suddenly you understand that revelation belongs to the Lord. And God is the giver of all revelation. Transform your thinking. It transforms your theology. It transforms your whole entire belief system. That's why I believe that every time we come into the presence of God and encounter Him, our theology expands. Our understanding of God broadens. Our faith begins to be deepened. Our passion begins to grow. Every time we launch out into the deep in the presence of God, something happens on the inside of us. I don't believe just a simple prayer will change our life. I believe that will change our lives is when you launch out into the deep. And it's just you and God alone. In 1980, on June the 9th, 1980, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's about 31 years. On June the 9th, 1980, that night when I came to know Jesus, that was also the night I received a call into the ministry. Yeah. I knew that night God called me. But I went into the Air Force to run away from the call. I just didn't want to respond to God's call. Because like I said, I always look at preachers and pastors and they are poor. I don't want to be a poor church mouse. You know, church mouse is so poor that there's no cheese to eat. You know? That's why I got a poor church mouse. I didn't want to be poor. So I ran from it. And I joined the Air Force. One of the best things about joining the Air Force is that you have a cushy lifestyle. It's a great lifestyle. They pay you well in the Air Force. You go places in the Air Force. Yeah. The supply from the Singapore Air Force was so good. You know, I mean, I was so financially viable that sometimes in our office, not sometimes, every month we would take the different girls out and groom them, you know, in the office. Yeah. There were a few of us guys. We earned so much, we didn't know what to do with our money. So we go up to this girl who's working in the Air Force as well. And we say, you know, why don't we take you shopping? And then we bring her shopping, buy her whatever she wants, and bring her to a hair salon, and then have the hairdresser fix her, you know. And so we would just bless her, you know. And then next month, you know, we will look for another one of the girls in the Air Force, and we will just say, hey, why don't you go shopping with us? So we spend on them, and so it was a cushy lifestyle. The provision came, so to speak, you know, where I was concerned, it was self-reliance. I work in the Air Force. I do a pretty good job. I get well paid. I'm happy. I spend every single cent. I mean, when I proposed to her, she looked at my bank accounts and had less than $10 because I was spending away everything, you know. Isn't it strange? The more you earn, the more you spend, the less you have in your bank account. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, don't put up your hands. And then God began to knock on my door. Come into the ministry. I said, no, God, I'll be poor. I can't afford to eat at nice Japanese restaurants. You know, I don't like those conveyor kind of stuff. I like to go to the real Japanese restaurant. Order the fish, you know, not the normal fish like the maguro and the salmon, you know, those are kind of normal, same old, same old. I like those aji, you know, where you, so it comes as a whole fish, you know. So that was my lifestyle in the Air Force. And God says, come to the ministry. I say, oh man. Coming into the ministry for me was launching into the deep. Trust me. It was a major launch in the deep where I was concerned. Because that ends my career in diplomatic services. Because that's where I was heading. Brought about a closure. Brought about a closure of all this cushy lifestyle. But you know what? It brought about a revelation of who God is in my life. My understanding of God changed. I began to become a man of faith, not a man who depends on his own ability. You understand what I'm saying? That's what it is. So your launch out into the deep will transform you. Now, I'm not saying, for goodness sake, listen, I'm not saying all of you will be going to Bible school. But if that's what God is calling you to do, I think that's a great thing to do. If God's calling you to be an intern and you pay for your whole internship with Pastor Sam, that's a great thing to do. Amen? Yeah, I know. God's calling you right now. God's speaking to some of you. Be an intern. But that's what God's calling you. Because you know what? The only way you can get transformed to that level of faith and zeal in God for some of us, it's not through prayer, but it's through launching out into the deep. Because your launch into the deep will transform you. Number two, your launch into the deep impact others around you. I'm not going to share too much on this because the last day, this will be either the last day or the night before this is going to be the emphasis of my sermon. Because your launch into the deep impact others around you. Because we look into this story, and as Simon Peter launched out into the deep, it impacted others. How did it impact others? It became a blessing to them. They toiled all night and caught nothing. And right now comes a windfall into their business, into their industry. The books becomes black immediately. So blessings are shared. The revelation is multiplied because not only did Peter came to an experience of the lordship of God, but the rest began to worship him. Revelation is multiplying. I also want to say this, and we'll pick this point up a little bit more, but I just want to insert it here. Your launch into the deep will impact others because your influence will increase greatly. That's why Simon Peter became the leader of the church. Your influence will expand beyond your understanding. And we'll look at that. But number three, your launch into the deep ultimately propels you into your destiny. Your launch into the deep will ultimately propel you into your destiny. A lot of us wants to know God's will for our life, isn't it? That's why we look for prophets to come and prophesy over us, because we want to have a glimpse of God's will for our life, because God's will equals our destiny. I want you to know, the key is not just receiving a prophetic word. The key is launching into the deep. Because when Simon Peter launched out into the deep, his destiny was then realized. Before, he was a fisherman. But once he launched into the deep, he then became a disciple of God, because he now is a fisher of men. His destiny was then realized. So your destiny tonight hang in this balance. Will you launch into the deep, or will you play safe in comfort zone? You will only know your destiny when you launch out into the deep. Until then, you can pray till your face turn blue or the cow comes home, or when Jesus comes back. But if you want to know your destiny, launch out into the deep. When I took that step to step into full-time ministry, ultimately, that step propels me into my destiny. That's why I'm here today. If I never do that, I'll be living God's second best for my life. I'm glad Simon Peter says, "Nevertheless, at your word." And then he did it. And then he became the leader of the church. Isn't it? Destiny will only be realized through launching out into the deep. So tonight, how many of you will join me and say, "Pastor Dom, I'm going to launch out into the deep. Pastor Dom, I'm going to do something I've never done before. Pastor Dom, I'm going to take I'm going to risk in God everything. Pastor Dom, I'm going to do it again. Though the last time it was an exercise in futility and disappointment and frustration and exasperation, but this time I'm going to do it with a revelation because I know I'm going to step into the place of fruitfulness in God." You know? And then you're going to say, "Pastor Dom, I join you to launch out into the deep because that which I've been doing successfully, I'm going to do more of it because I'm going to see greater things happen in my life." Amen. Because tonight God's about to do something. Because tonight, let me say here, the destiny of Solomon's porch hang in the balance of eternity. Which way will it tilt tonight? You make that call. Because that's your call. Remember, Simon Peter had a choice. He could say, "I toil all night. I'm an experienced fisherman. I know the business. I know the sea. I know right now the fishes are asleep." And he had the learned experience. He had the knowledge. He had the experience. He had the exposure. I mean, he's the man. Who is Jesus? He's a carpenter. Can you imagine a carpenter telling you? Huh? Can you imagine a lawyer telling an investment banker what to do? Can you imagine a teacher telling a lawyer how to prepare for the presentation? A carpenter told an experienced fisherman to launch up. The fisherman had a choice. Because the fisherman's destiny hung in the balance of eternity. Which way will it tilt tonight? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, right now that your Holy Spirit will come, breathe over this word. Breathe over this word. I pray for every man and woman right now. Spirit of God, minister to them right now. I know you have Spirit of God. And I ask Spirit of God that you will challenge them tonight. Challenge them to launch out into the deep. Because Lord, you have something exciting for them. It's an exciting adventure in you. And so tonight I pray right now, right this moment, move upon every heart. Because Lord, tonight is a night of destiny. Lord, our desire is to go deeper, go wider. But I realize, Lord, tonight, the only way we can go deeper and go wider is to launch out into the deep. And so come by your Holy Spirit right now. As men and women come to this place of prayer, do a deep and powerful work. And so I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. At the first word, first line of this song, I'm going to ask you to come to the altars. Because by coming to the altars, we're doing a prophetic act. You are launching into the deep. This is the deep end. That's the shallow end where you are. When you come out, you are coming out to the deep end. You're saying to the Lord, "I'm launching. I'm launching into the deep." Amen. Yes, Lord. To another level. You're ready to launch? Come right now. Deeper in you. you are here in the deep end. What is the challenge God is posing to you tonight? As you are standing here in the deep end, you gotta respond to God's challenge tonight. There was a challenge to Simon, launch out into the deep. What is it? Is it something God's calling you to do that you've never done before? What is it? Is it about putting greater risk in Him? What is it? Is it about doing something again that you've done and you've failed? What is it? Maybe you try evangelizing a friend and the whole thing blows up and now you're gun shy. God says to you, launch out into the deep. You've got to do it again. It will not be an exercise in futility, because right now, you're doing it in God's timing. You're doing it in God's strength. You're doing it in God's revelation. What is it? Maybe you've been doing it well. God's tonight challenging you to do more. That's what launching into the deep is all about. Doing more. And if that is the case, I want you to ask, to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to do more. And tell Him, what is it you're going to do more? So that it stretches you. Launching into the deep will stretch you, because it will transform you. It will impact others. But most of all, it will propel you to your destiny. And so tonight, as you're standing here, understand that. And then talk to Him. As we sing this song again, as you come to the altars, you talk to Him. You talk to Him. It's not about someone praying for you tonight. It's about you talking with Him. It's about you being apprehended by His Spirit tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Spirit of God. As you press in, I'm going to ask Kafai and Pastor Sam to come, and let's just pray for this that are here. And Pastor Sam, if you want others to join us in praying for this in the front, just call them out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now you press in, you press in. You press in right now.
Stay in this mode. Can I just invite you just to have a seat or kind of just relax and just kind of kneel? You know, especially the ones that have come up forward. And I actually just want to, you know, I don't know if you ever heard this phrase before, but I just want you to pitch a tent. I just want to pitch a tent. I just want to invite you just to one-on-one, just to be with the Lord. And if you want to stand, that's okay too. But find a place that's comfortable for you. And I want to invite you tonight to pitch a tent. What I mean by that is, I just want to invite you to find a space with God and just go there. You know, for some of us, I mean, this is not meant to make you feel bad or anything like that, but it's really an invitation. Some of you guys, it's been a long time since you prayed. I mean, a long time. Since you really prayed, not just for your food, you know, not just for, you know, a good morning chat with God, but I mean, just really seeking God's face. I want you to pitch a tent. You know, I think there's a real grace here tonight for you to really just get in God's face. And it might take a little bit of time, but that's okay. It's going to be well worth it. What else are you going to do tonight anyway? I mean, we're already here, right? And just, if you have a problem focusing, just close your eyes, right? Don't look around. Just close your eyes and just simply start talking to God. It doesn't have to be anything beautiful or anything eloquent. And maybe some of you guys is just so frustrated as well. Just moan to God. It's okay. But just pitch a tent. Find a space in your heart with the Lord. You know, we're going to go around and just kind of minister to you, lay hands, but this is really for you to go deeper. And just be quiet. Be still. Just talk to Daddy. Share with him the stuff that's going on in your life. Maybe some of you are disappointed about certain things. Share with Him those things. This is just you and Jesus. Maybe you've been hurt by people, whatnot. Just share that with Him. Let no one take this time away from you tonight. Just pitch a tent. Just stay in this place as long as you need to. There's no time limit. Just find that place with God. Pastor Victor will just continue to play for us, just leading us. Let's go deep. Let's find that place with God. Just share. Maybe you're mad at God about something. Just share. So I invite you to gut level honesty with God. Very familiar with Jeremiah 29, and he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, calamity, to give you a future and a hope. A lot of times we forget the second part of that. He says, if you seek for me with all of your heart, he says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. That's what tonight's about, seeking for Him with all of our heart. There's some of you that, this is prophetically speaking, there's some of you who've been carrying around a lot of burden, a lot of hurt. Can I invite you just to release that before the Lord? It's relational issues. Even, it sounds, may sound so cliche, but it's even issues going back to your parents, your mom and dad. And you just held that in. Because when He finds you, that's when you find healing. Let me just encourage you that this is a safe place for you just to let that out. Just pitch that tent. If you fall asleep seeking after Him, no worries, huh? Thank you, Jesus. There's a few of you here tonight, and in deep inside, you, no one knows this, just you. But man, you just feel like an absolute failure. You just feel like you failed in this and you failed in that, you failed in relationships. God wants to whisper something into your heart right now. You don't have to, don't raise your hand, don't do anything. Right now, you just begin to open your heart before the Lord. Just allow the Holy Spirit just deposit something right now. And so Lord, right now, over all my friends, God, that deep inside, God, have this deep sense of failure, God. They failed in relationships, they failed at work, they failed in their family. Right now, would you deposit the truth? So right there, God, erase the lies. There it is, right there. Just let the Lord have you right there. Thank you, Lord. You're going to know who you are in Christ tonight as you release that to Jesus.
Put His arms around me.
also get a sense that there are some of us here tonight that God is really challenging us something. And it's a pretty difficult thing for us. It could be something about letting go of something or forgiving someone. Or something different, but the key is it's very challenging for you. I just feel like the Holy Spirit just wanted to drop something into your spirit. It's just a really a simple image, a simple picture. He just wanted to give you a revelation of the cross. And if you're one of these people, you're like, yeah, God's really challenging me something. Let me invite you, just go to the foot of the cross and just embrace it. Now, Philippians says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The strength of Christ is the cross of Christ. In that place right now where you feel challenged, just begin to embrace the cross. In fact, I mean, you just even act like the cross is right in front of you and just grab onto it. Just embrace Christ's sacrifice. You can do anything because Jesus did everything for us. Maybe God's challenging you to forgive or let go. Just embrace the cross. Maybe He's challenging you to a deeper commitment. Just embrace the cross. And really, if you're having a hard time, I want you to literally just take your arms and just grab a hold of the cross of Christ. It's right in front of you. And let Holy Spirit just drop something in your spirit right now.
on me. Yes, I'm waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. Not worry about that time. Cause love sleeps before. Strength won and waiting on you.
Let's keep pressing in, church. It's only been like 20 minutes. Not that it's a time thing. Let's just keep pressing in. Not that we're trying to force something, but just really focus on the Lord. Focus our attention. You know, there's a biblical principle. At his first miracle, he saves the best wine for last. For those ones that can stick it out, endure, persevere, there's always good stuff that flows at the end. And so let's continue to quiet our own hearts, continue to quiet our own voices, and just focus on Jesus. Maybe some of you have already been touched a little bit. There's a lot of more. There's a lot of more. For some of you, these last 20 minutes have just been just quieting those voices. That's crucial. Just let them take you deeper. Or take us deeper, God. Or take us deeper. Deeper in you. Deeper in your truth. God, deeper into your purposes, God. Or we will stay in this posture as long as we need to, God. Let me not be distracted, Lord. But Lord, give me focus tonight. And the beauty of being out here together is that we're actually together. Can I encourage you to find someone, and maybe that's around you right now, and just start ministering to one another? The beauty of the Christian life is we don't have to do it on ourselves by ourselves. So maybe you're sitting next to someone, or just grab a hold of that person and say, "Man, can we pray for each other? Let me pray for you. Can you pray for me?" You don't have to know who that person is. The Spirit works. You pray strategically, the place you where you're at right now. You just minister to one another. Huh? Even those guys that are sitting in the back, just find someone. You start praying for one another. Let me encourage you to just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. And just start praying and just let the words just flow out of your mouth. One and one, groups of three, doesn't matter. Let's just find someone and say, "Man, let me just minister to you. Can you minister to me?" You watch what God does through the body. Huh? If anyone, you're alone and you can't find a partner, just raise your hand. I'll hook you up right now. Let grace overflow for each one of you guys and girls. Now you can take your time praying. Let me encourage you, after you find someone and you minister to them, go find somebody else. If you're tired and you want to go to sleep, you're welcome to do that as well, huh? If you're done praying, go find somebody else to pray with.